In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God and you. It's a great blessing to be in this blessed church tonight, this blessed period of time. And as Abuna Yunan asked me, tonight, God willing, the sermon will be mainly in English with some Arabic, and tomorrow it will be mainly in Arabic with some English. And I ask for your kindness to pray for me so God may give the blessing when I open my mouth. I know that you are, during this blessed period of time, you are studying the Beatitudes, which is the first part or the beginning or the introduction of the Sermon on the Mount that was uttered by the Lord Jesus Christ on the mountain for his disciples and the multitude. And this part of the Bible is a very special Bible. Probably the Sermon on the Mount is the longest speech that the Lord Jesus Christ said to a multitude and was documented in the Gospel according to St. Matthew in all details. And St. Matthew actually was very careful and documented this sermon, and I stand at the beginning of the sermon wondering of the level of details that St. Matthew wrote his gospel, and in particular this part of his gospel. For example, when he starts the Sermon on the Mount, you see that he says about the Lord Jesus Christ that when he saw the multitude, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying. And you look at it and say, well, why he didn't just say, oh, Jesus said? You see the details that St. Matthew is putting his words. He's saying he opened his mouth, referring to the Lord Jesus Christ, and taught them, saying. Isn't it easier to say, and Jesus said? Yes, it is easier, of course, but the word opened his mouth was used in the Bible in several locations, in several occasions, in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And normally when the phrase opened his mouth is there, normally there is a very important message to follow. So Saint Matthew here, in other words, trying to prepare the reader of his gospel to what comes after, to prepare us to receive the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's saying, open his mouth just to make us pay attention and prepare our minds. And tonight, I pray and I ask you to pray also to open, for God to open our hearts and our minds so we might receive the words of the Lord Jesus Christ and have clear understanding of his message tonight. This part is called in English, the Beatitudes. And when you read the first 12 verses, you find that the Lord Jesus Christ is giving us not just commandments, he's establishing an attitude, a Christian attitude, that the Christian person should have in his spiritual life to be able to carry this great blessing of being Christian and to be able to be worthy of the calling, as St. Paul said, to be worthy of the calling of being Christian and to be worthy of carrying a Christian name. That is a general attitude. You find that the Lord Jesus Christ did not say, for example, blessed be who makes peace. He said, blessed are the peacemaker. He did not say, blessed are who mourns. He said, blessed are, and gave the word mourn as an attitude, not as an action. نلاقي الجزء ده من الموعظة على الجبل، السيد المسيح ادى فيه البركات والطوبة لصفات وليست لأعمال. يعني ما قالش طوبى لمن يتمسكن بالروح أو طوبى لمن يصنع السلام، لكن قال طوبى للمساكين بالروح. والمساكين بالروح دي صفة للإنسان، المسكنة بالروح هي صفة وليست عمل وليست فعل. ما قالش طوبى لمن يصنع السلام، قال طوبى لصانع السلام. وفي فرق كبير ما بين من يصنع السلام وصانع السلام. من يصنع السلام، صنع السلام بالنسبة له طبع، اتيتيود، شيء في طبعه، سكند نيتشر، هو كده، هو صانع السلام. أما من يصنع السلام فهو ممكن يصنع السلام النهاردة وما يصنعش سلام بكرة، وهكذا كل التطيبات. So if you think about it, we can actually say that the beatitude, not actually beatitude, but we can call them be attitude, because it's actually an attitude. And the good thing about it that the Lord Jesus Christ started every single one of them with a very nice word that's very rewarding. Blessed are. And blessed are gives us a lot of meanings. And when you go to the original in the Greek language and other translations too, you can actually have a clearer meaning of this word. This word is not just go and be blessed, or just God bless you and that's about it. No, it has a deeper meaning. Blessed are is simply a gift that Christ is giving to whoever carries this attitude. But this gift will have within it a great deal of joy, and not happiness, by the way, but joy. There's a difference, a big difference between joy and happiness. Joy, again, is a status of inner peace and inner happiness that comes from in out. Happiness is something that comes from out in. في فرق بين السعادة والفرح. السعادة ده لما يكون إنسان ممكن يكون حزين لكن في قلبه من الداخل جوي وسعادة، ممكن يكون في سعادة خارجية من بره ولكن ليست داخلية، اللي هو يسموها الفرح. الفرح ده ممكن واحد يفرح بشغلانة جديدة، يفرح بشوية فلوس، جوله تروح الشغلانة تروح الفلوس، يحزن، ده الفرح، فرح مؤقت كده. لكن السعادة الداخلية لا تتوقف على المؤثرات الخارجية. Joy is an inner feeling, an inner feeling from inside that makes the human being happy regardless the circumstances that he lives in. Like for example, we see Saint Paul. He was in the prison. He was not happy but had joy in his heart. Of course, Saint Paul was not happy in the prison because he'd rather prefer to go out and preach and teach and go out and, you know, it's not a very pleasant experience to be in a Roman prison at that time, for sure. But he had inner joy and inner peace within him that made him sing in joy in the middle of the night. يعني مريم بولس الرسول بالتأكيد ما كانش يعني فرحان ومزقطط من الفرح لما كان في السجن، لأن دي حاجة ما تصرش أبدا. هو مش عايز يكون في السجن، هو عايز يطلع بره ويبشر، وعنده شغل وعنده تبشير وعنده كنائس يزورها وعنده افتقادات، ويفضل يكون في مكان تاني. فبالتأكيد يعني يفضل يطلع، مش كده؟ ولكن في داخله كان في فرح داخلي يخليه يقعد في نص الليل يسبح ربنا ويبقى فرحان بربنا على الرغم من الظروف الصعبة جدا المحيطة بيه. هو ده نوع الفرح والسعادة اللي تحمله كلمة طوبة. This is the kind of joy that the word blessed are is carrying. So we can give another definition instead of the beatitude. We said be attitude. Can we say it's actually be happy, quote unquote, happy attitude? This is what we are talking about in during this last period of the year. And God, the Lord Jesus Christ, started his beatitude or humility gradually, giving us sort of a complete curriculum of how a real Christian person and a real believer should be. And he started with the poor in spirit, because the poor in spirit is like the launch pad for everything that comes after, Without it, nothing else could be achieved. The first feeling, the first attitude that someone should have in his spiritual life is to feel poor in spirit. And I'm sure that you had a complete sermon about the poor in spirit, but I'm just saying it quickly, that feeling poor in spirit is simply someone who compared his spiritualities and his status with the perfection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he noticed the difference, and he noticed that he is very poor in spirit comparing to the perfection of the spiritualities of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he feels that he has nothing to offer to God. He is very poor. He's like a beggar in standing before a great king, a great wealthy king. And this beggar cannot actually lift up his eyes to look at this great king, because he is very poor and he's there to beg from him just anything that the great king will give to this poor man. And that's the first status a believer should be in, status of feeling that I'm nothing, I'm very poor, I have nothing to offer to God. I need him, and I need his grace, and I need his love, and I need his forgiveness, because I am a sinner. And he will be like the tax collector, the publican, who couldn't even raise up his eyes to God. And he was praying in the temple, saying, God, forgive me, a sinner. And that's all what he said. And he went out justified. So this status is the beginning of spiritualities, followed by the second beatitude, which is what anyone remembers? الطوبة الأولى للمسيح إداها كانت الطوبة للإيه؟ للمساكين بالروح. الإنسان المسكين بالروح ده إنسان اللي حاسس بفقره التام روحيا لما يجي يقارن نفسه برب المجد يسوع المسيح. بعد ما الإنسان بيحس بهذا الفقر التام، إيه المرحلة الثانية اللي بيدخل عليها؟ الحزن. الحزن ده مش الحزن العالمي عشان واحد ضاع منه شغل ولا ضاع منه فلوس، ولكن حزن على إيه؟ حزن على حاله. أنا حزين على حالي روحيا. ليه؟ أنا ما عنديش حاجة أديها لربنا، ربنا بص لي وخلقني في أحسن صورة، توقع مني أن أكون هو قديس كما هو قدوس، وأنا واقف في حالتي الروحية دي، فطبعا لازم أحزن على الحالة اللي أنا فيها. The second stage in this ladder of spiritualities and the second step for a real Christian is after noticing and recognizing his status, the status of spiritual poverty. He recognized this quite well. He will mourn this status, a godly mourn. And I'm sure you have also a whole sermon about the godly mourn that God is seeking in us as a result of us recognizing our spiritual status and our spiritual poverty. The third step, which we're talking about tonight, well, we can't just stop at the status of mourning our condition and feeling bad about ourselves and fall into despair, because we are at that level of spirituality and at that level of poverty. We can't stop there. There is another step that we should take in our spiritual ladder, which is to be meek, to be meek. The Lord Jesus Christ said, blessed are the meek. And I can just imagine the Lord Jesus Christ sitting on the mount, preaching to his disciple and teaching the multitude, telling them, blessed are the meek. And they are waiting for him to complete the sentence, expecting him to say, well, blessed are the meek because they will suffer. They will be like humiliated on earth. They will lose everything. They will be tread on. They will be humbled by others. And they will be. But as a surprise to all who are surrounding the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus said, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." What a surprise! I think everybody went, "What? The meek will inherit the earth?" Well, at the time of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Pharisees and scribes and the Jews and the high priests were seeking the inheritance of the earth. But unfortunately, they lived under the government of the royal empire, or the Roman Empire. So they were oppressed. And the only way to inherit the earth is to actually revolt and to go and fight. So probably to organize an army or something and to go and fight the Roman Empire, the most powerful authority of that time. The meek cannot inherit the kingdom, cannot inherit the earth. The meek will be under the horses in the battlefield. The meek will be in dungeons and prisons of the Roman Empire. So the Pharisees looked at the Christ and said, "Well, what is he talking about? This is not the time of being meek," because they misunderstood the word meek, as we do misunderstand it today also. I think up to now, although we don't have any Roman Empire or anything, but I don't think anyone on the world will just be or will just preach that you should be mean to get you should be meek to get a better job, and you should be meek to rule over something, or you should be meek to have a higher position, or you should be meek. I don't think this is the language of today, exactly as it was in the language of the time of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because there is a misunderstanding of the word meek, and that's our next point here. Our next point is, if the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Blessed are the meek, because they will inherit the earth," so the meek will inherit the earth. If he said so, it would be so. The Lord Jesus Christ wasn't making fun of the meek, or wasn't just giving vague promises. He meant to say it, and he said it, so it is right. Why it's not happening? Because we misunderstand the word meek. People think meek is different. That's why now we'll just make a comparison of the earthly or the worldly understanding of the word meek versus God's understanding of the word meek and what the Lord Jesus Christ meant with the word meek. كلمة الودعاء بالكلمات اللي محدش يحبها في العالم يتخيلوا ان الوداعة دي ضعف. يقولك علشان تبقى في مركز عالي او علشان تقدر تعمل بيزنس قوي او علشان تاخد منصب تكون اجريسيف لازم تكون قوي. لا، خلي الوداعة دي يعني لرجال الكهنوت او الناس في الكنيسة، او يعني الناس ما يكونوش ليهم طموحات. اما النجاح ما ينفعش مع الوداعة. ده مفهوم غلط 100%، نابع من خطأ في مفهوم كلمة الوداعة نفسها. قصد ايه السيد المسيح بكلمة الوداعة؟ اول حاجة لازم نحطها في قصد السيد المسيح ان كلمة وداعة لا تساوي اطلاقا كلمة الضعف. والدليل على كده ان هو نفسه قال عن نفسه: "تعلموا مني لاني وديع ومتواضع القلب." واحنا نعرف جيدا السيد المسيح عمره ما كان ضعيف. So let's make a comparison here for between the understanding of the world and the understanding of the church, or the real understanding of Christians regarding the word meek. In the world, you must push and shove, you must confront and conquer, you must lie and cheat if you would like to inherit the earth. On the earth, on the world, for the world, the worldly understanding of the word meek will contradict completely with most of the mottos and most of the chanting that people would chant with on a daily basis. I remember a few years, the motto or the song, the chanting song for the Olympian theme was faster, higher, stronger. I don't know if anyone would remember this. Faster, higher, stronger. And the whole world, of course, they were following with the Olympian competition, and you were singing this song, faster, higher, stronger. Because everyone has to be faster, everyone has to be stronger, everyone has to be more aggressive to win. And unfortunately, it doesn't stop at competitions in sports. But it's contagious, and people believe in it, and they start to apply it on their daily basis, even away from sports arenas. And unfortunately, sometimes even we bring it into the church, and sometimes we bring it into our spiritual life, and we think that to inherit the earth, we must be faster, higher, stronger, bigger, better, knowing more. And the understanding of the world of meek is opposite all of the above. And this is not what God means. The world understanding of the word meek is to be a pushover, is to be weak, is to be hesitant, is to fear things around you. It's just something that we say about fearful people. People who are lacking in self-confidence. That's misunderstanding of the word meek. The second misunderstanding of the world, of the word meek, according to the world, meekness is simply being nice and easy to get along. So a nice person is a meek person in the world's eyes. A person who is easy to get along with, we call him meek. That's again wrong. Because just being nice by nature does not mean at all that you are humble or you are meek according to Christ. That's another misunderstanding. Some people by nature, they are nice. I would say even sometimes, you know, some animals are nicer than others. Doesn't mean that this animal has a virtue of meekness. Sometimes you find a dog that's nicer than another dog, or a cat that's nicer than another cat. It doesn't mean that this cat or this dog is meek. No, that's not the church's understanding of meek. And the third misperception about the word meek in the world, that sometimes people think that just because this person seek peace at any price, he is a meek person. And again, that's misunderstanding. في العالم في تعريف مختلف لكلمة وديع. ثلاث أنواع من المفاهيم الخاطئة لكلمة وديع في العالم. إما إن هو ضعيف ويعني ممكن الناس تدوسه وتعدي عليه. إما إنه إنسان just nice كده و nice to talk to حاجة لطيفة كده تكلمه تلاقيه شخص لطيف يقول لك سلام فلان ده وديع خالص. فلان ده لطيف خالص وديع جدا. أو المفهوم الخاطئ الثالث إن هو إنسان مجرد إن هو إيه يحب يعمل سلام في المنطقة اللي هو موجود فيها ويعني يتصالح بأي ثمن يعني يقول لك إيه he makes peace at any price فالناس تقول لك يا سلام فلان ده إنسان إيه وديع ومطار. الحقيقة الثلاث مفاهيم خاطئة تماما. عشان نعرف إزاي الثلاث مفاهيم دي خاطئة نعرف ما هو تعريف الوداعة في نظر المسيح والكنيسة. What is the definition of the understanding of meekness according to Christ and according to the church? First, meekness is first and foremost a divine work of the Holy Spirit. It's not a man-made version. It's an outcome of the work of the Holy Spirit inside the person. يعني أول مفهوم صحيح عن الوداعة إن الوداعة دي مش بتاعتي خالص. مش أنا اللي أقدر أعملها في نفسي. الوداعة دي ثمرة من عمل الروح القدس في حياتي. Being meek, spiritually meek, means that I allowed the Holy Spirit to work inside me, and this is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. That's the first understanding of meekness according to church and according to Christ. It's not about me at all. It's about the work of the Holy Spirit inside me. Second, meekness is a byproduct of being poor in spirit and mourning over our sins condition, which are the two first attitudes that Christ mentioned. So it's a byproduct of the first two, feeling my poverty and mourning over my spiritual status. I develop my spiritualities by being meek. And third, is true meekness is always manifested when we have a choice between evil and good. And when I say between evil and good, I define good here by being or doing the work of God or the will of God in my life. When there is a contradiction, when there is a choice to make, I choose the work of God, the way of God, the will of God, regardless the will of people, including myself. Then I am meek. ثلاث مفاهيم صحيحة للوداعة بيعلمها لنا الكتاب المقدس وهنشوف أمثلة من الكتاب المقدس حالا. تدينا مفهوم الوداعة الحقيقي اللي المسيح عايز يشوف الإنسان الروحي في الحالة دي. شوفنا ثلاث مفاهيم الخاطئة بتاعة العالم والتعريف الخاطئ بتاع العالم اللي بيخلي الناس أحيانا تهرب من الوداعة لأنها فهمها غلط. فاكر ان الوداعة دي هتخلي الناس تدوس لأنه فهم الوداعة أصلا غلط. الوداعة الحقيقية هو الإنسان إنه يعرف إن هو بيكون وديا مش لأن هو بيعمل عمل كويس أو إن هو بيجاهد في حاجة معينة توصله إلى مرحلة الوداعة، ولكنه لأنه سمح للروح القدس أن يعمل في داخله، لأن الوداعة دي ثمر الروح القدس. ده عمل الروح القدس في داخل الإنسان، هو اللي بيعطي للإنسان فضيلة الوداعة. النقطة الثانية إن الوداعة دي تكون عدت الإنسان أولا بمرحلة المسكنة بالروح والحزن الروحي وارتقى إلى مرحلة إن هو أصبح وديع. لأن إيه الفايدة إن يكون الإنسان فاكر إن هو وديع وهو أصلا ما عداش بالمرحلتين الأولانيين اللي هما معرفة حالته الروحية على حقيقتها، شوف نفسه كده في مراية واقعية وحقيقية، وإن يكون فعلا حزن على خطيته. تبقى الوداعة دي وداعة مظهرية وليست وداعة حقيقية، نبع أو من إنتاج أو من تحصيل أو من تقدم الإنسان روحيا من خلال المسكنة بالروح والإحساس بضعف الروحي وحزنه الروحي على حالته الروحية. والمفهوم الثالث الصحيح للوداعة إن الوداعة تخلي الإنسان دايما يختار إرضاء الله فوق إرضاء البشر. لأن المفهوم الخاطئ للوداعة يخلي الإنسان يرضي البشر أكثر من الله، أما المفهوم الصحيح للوداعة يخلي الإنسان يرضي الله أكثر من البشر، وهنشوف أمثلة حالا دلوقتي من العهد القديم والعهد الجديد. We'll see some examples from the Old Testament and the New Testament for humbleness and meekness to give us the real understanding of the real meaning of meekness. In the Old Testament, someone like Abraham, the great patriarch, the father of the fathers, was a truly a meek man. You see, Abraham, in his dealings with his nephew Lot, Abraham was given the promise of God, was a friend of God, had a great relationship with God. And Lot was just his nephew. Yet, when there was a problem, and the Bible tells us there was a strife between the herdmen of Abraham's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, there was a problem, there was a strife. Abraham gave Lot the first choice as where he wanted to settle, and Abraham would be satisfied with what was left over from Lot. That's real meekness. That wasn't weakness. That was meekness. Because Abraham was more powerful than Lot. And Abraham here wasn't only trying to be a nice guy. No. He meant to make peace with Lot. And he did not want at all to make a problem. Although if there was a problem, he would win. He was more powerful. He had the first word. He had a promise from God. And he can just say to Lot, you know what? I'll be a nice guy and leave this piece of land for you, and I will move here or you move there. Give him clear instructions what to do. Just you sit here, I'll sit here. He could have done that. And that would be acceptable at a social level. But he didn't do that. And that's real meekness. Although he had the authority, although he had the power, he gave Lot the first choice. So Abraham was weak? He was not. How would I know? Maybe someone would say, yeah, maybe Abraham had a problem with his personality. He wasn't very strong. I tell you, go and read the Bible. You will find that after a little while, when there was a war, this person, Abraham, the very same person, carried his sword, took his shepherds and his men, and went to a war to save his nephew Lot. Very difficult to understand. How can a person like Abraham, very humble, very meek, very kind, very sweet, to get involved in a war? And you know what wars are. That's Abraham. So, he was not weak with Lot. He was meek. He had this humble, meek personality. Another example of meekness from the Old Testament is Moses. Look at Moses. Moses, the Bible tells us that he was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. He was so meek, and God witnessed for Moses that he was so meek and he was so humble. Yet, Moses, when he came down from the mountain, carrying the Ten Commandments on his hands, and saw his own brother worshiping, dancing around a golden calf, he was driven by anger, holy anger, and holy zeal for God, and he was so angry that he took this calf, destroyed it, ground it, and gave it to people to drink. Unbelievable. I can just picture Moses so furious. Why? Was he defending himself? No, he was defending what he believes in, God. So Moses was meek, but you can see him when the time is in need for a strong personality, he is there. And that does not take the virtue of meekness away from him. As a matter of fact, it gives it more dimension, deeper understanding. David is another example from the Old Testament. In his dealings and in his battle with Saul, the king, David was anointed to be the king of Israel. God had chosen him over Saul and sent Samuel the prophet, anointed him with oil, and he became the king of Israel. Yet, in his meekness and kindness, he couldn't even kill Saul in two occasions where Saul was just right there at his feet, and David would have killed him in 1 second. As a matter of fact, David felt sorry that he even cut a piece of Saul's garment. He felt bad about that. That's real meekness. When David had authority and power to kill Saul twice, he didn't do it. And that's real meekness. When Saul is there in the battlefield, David would call him and say, "You, king of Israel, you're coming after whom? After a dog, a dead dog, dead dog? You are the king of Israel, David." "Yes, I know, but I don't want someone like Saul, who's anointed once, although I know that the Spirit of God left him. I don't want him to come after me. I'm worth nothing." That's real meekness. And as we know, through this meekness, Abraham inherited the earth, Moses inherited the earth, and David inherited the earth. أمثلة عظيمة جدا من الكتاب المقدس من العهد القديم نشوفها تعبير واضح جدا عن الوداعة الحقيقية في شخصية إبراهيم شخصية موسى وشخصية داود وإزاي إبراهيم اللي كان يتكلم مع الله كان وديع جدا مع لوط ابن أخوه وإزاي موسى اللي كان على الجبل يتخاطب مع الله وياخد لوحي العهد مكتوب عليهم العشر وصايا يتحول في غضب مقدس إلى قائد عظيم يؤمر بطحن العجل الذهبي غيرة منه على الله وإزاي داود في وداعة حقيقية وهو يستطيع أن يقتل شاول مرتين لا يقتله بل بالعكس ينده عليه من بعيد يقول له على من خرج ملك إسرائيل مالك يا ملك إسرائيل إيه اللي حصل لك يا داود أنت اللي ملك إسرائيل ده ربنا رفض شاول واختارك هذه هي الوداعة الحقيقية لما يكون إنسان في إيده سلطة وقوة ولكن يعرف إزاي يستغل هذه السلطة والقوة في وداعة حقيقية. من العهد الجديد from the New Testament of course the first example we take from the New Testament is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He said that about himself that he is meek and lowly in heart. The Lord Jesus Christ, the perfect example of meekness, you find him in a position where he goes to the temple and he kicks out people who are selling and buying in the temple and exchange tables and cleanse the temple from all the evil that took place at that time. And people look at him and say, "Isn't this person, is the meek person between you that he is so meek, so humble and so nice?" It's not about being nice, it's about cleansing the house of God. And he had the authority to cleanse the house of God, so he did it. And he did not lose the virtue of meekness. As a matter of fact, he perfected this virtue. The second example of meekness in the New Testament is Saint Mary. Saint Mary, although she knew and she received the good news and the annunciation of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, and she will be the mother of the waited Messiah, the mother of the Son of God. She calls herself maidservant. Then she goes to Elizabeth to serve her in her pregnancy period and in her wonderful song, the Song of Mary, written in the Gospel of St. Luke. She says, "For he," means God, "for God has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant," the lowly state of his maidservant, the mother of God, a great example of meekness, although she knows who she is, yet she had this virtue of meekness, and this is real meekness. نلاقي أمثلة من العهد الجديد للاتضاع الحقيقي والوداع الحقيقية. فأعظم مثل, وهو مثل السيد المسيح نفسه اللي هو قال عن نفسه: تعلموا مني لأني وديع ومتواضع القلب. فهو مثل الوداع وتواضع القلب, ومع ذلك نجده في تطهير الهيكل يصنع صوت ويطرد باعة الحمام. والست العذراء على الرغم من معرفتها أنها ستصبح أم الله, إلا أن هي بكل بساطة تقول: هو ذا أنا أمة الرب. وفي تسبيحتها الجميلة في بيت أليصابات تقول أنه نظر إلى اتضاع أمته. Another example of meekness in the New Testament is Saint Peter. Saint Peter was a great saint. He was one of the apostles. And he was confronted once by Saint Paul. And Saint Paul rebuked him in front of people too, publicly. He rebuked him because of an issue regarding the Jews, regardless. Yet after that, Saint Peter, in his second epistle, chapter 3, he mentions Saint Paul saying, "Our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him." When he addressed Saint Paul, he said about him, "Our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him." So he recognized Paul, although Paul was not from the 12, from the 12 apostles. Saint Peter was from the 12, and he was a great a disciple of Christ himself, but in meekness he respects Saint Paul even after being rebuked by him publicly. مثل جميل جدا في الوداعة الحقيقية معلمنا بطرس الرسول, لما يجي على الرغم من أن بولس الرسول وبخه علانية وكان بينهم من بعض كده, هو حصل يعني مواجهة قدام الناس بخصوص بعض الـ يعني أمور اليهودية, مش وقتها دلوقتي هنتكلم فيها. يعني بطرس كان يقعد يأكل مع اليهود وآسف مع الأمم, ولكن في وجود اليهود ما كانش كده يعني, لكن بغض النظر هو اختلاف, وبولس الرسول احتد فيه. ولكن بطرس بعد كده هو لما يجي يذكر بولس الرسول في رسالته الثانية يذكره بكل الحب على أنه أخ ولأنه أيضا واخد حكمة سماوية. Is meekness important? Is it necessary? Yes, it is. It's a necessity, and it is very important to have meekness. It's very important for individuals, it's very important for the edification of the church, and it's very important, of course, as a result, for building the kingdom of God. هل الوداعة دي يعني مطلوبة؟ لازم منها. الوداعة مطلوبة على المستوى الشخصي الفردي, مطلوبة على مستوى الكنيسة, لأنها بيها بنبني ملكوت السماوات. Through meekness, an individual would receive God's word and directions. St. James teaches us in his epistle, saying, "Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word." Receive with meekness. Meekness is a condition to receive the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. To save your soul, you need directions from God. You need to hear the word of God to save your soul. A question that we always face: how would I hear the word of God? How would I know God's will in my life? How can I discern between the word of God and the word of the world? How would I know that this message is from God? How would I know that this way is from God? I need to know, I need to listen clearly to the word of God. How? Meekness is the door. When someone is meek, he will be able to clearly listen to the voice of God in his life or in her life. But ego builds a concrete high wall between the individual and God, makes the person unable to clearly hear the voice of God. We need to hear the voice of God, and without meekness in our lives, we will not be able to. Also, through meekness, according to St. Peter in his first epistle, we will be able to communicate God's message to the others too. So it's not only for us, but how can we communicate the word of God? Remember the story of Moses? In the story of Moses, when he was not yet at the meekness status, he tried to free the Israelites from Egypt. He made a big mistake and it was a disaster. But when he humbled himself, and after 40 years in building the virtue of meekness, and he become meek, he was able to hear the voice of God clearly and to communicate the message of God and to free the Israelites. We cannot do this without meekness. We can't free ourselves or our beloved ones unless we break the concrete wall of selfishness and ego and start to gain the virtue of meekness. I know it's almost the time. I will just jump into the last point here, which is how they be able to obtain meekness, how they be able to obtain this kind of humbleness. إزاي هقدر إن أنا أوصل إلى مرحلة الوداعة؟ زي ما أنا قلت، الوداعة مش مجرد عمل الواحد بيعمله، ولكنه طبع في حياة الإنسان. إزاي الإنسان يكون وديع ويتعلم من السيد المسيح الوداعة وتواضع القلب؟ The first thing we do, we should do, if you would like to gain this virtue, is to follow the steps of the Lord Jesus Christ and the curriculum that He gave us, is to start with recognizing who we are and feel how poor we are in the spirit, and mourn our status. Then we will find that we are able to take a step forward towards meekness. Second is to focus on Christ and only Christ. If He said that we should learn from Him meekness and lowliness of heart, we should learn from Him and only from Him. Focus on His character and learn from Him and take Him as a role model for the life. Third is, if we said that meekness is the fruit of the Holy Spirit, then we should ask the Holy Spirit to work within us to be able to gain this fruit. How would I gain this fruit if I don't allow the Holy Spirit to work in my life? If I don't surrender my steering wheel to Him and say, "You drive, I will be on the passenger seat. You take the lead. You guide me." Unfortunately, we pray a lot for God the Father and God the Son, and we pray very little to God the Holy Spirit. We want tonight to come out with a new sort of prayers to complete our prayers, to pray to the Holy Spirit. Tonight when you go home, stand in your prayer room or your bedroom and change your prayer a bit. Instead of starting your prayer addressing God the Father or God the Son, address the Holy Spirit tonight. and pray to the Holy Spirit tonight and ask the Holy Spirit to help you in being meek. Then, in your spiritual life, everyone must follow his father of confessions and instructions, because that brings meekness to the person. A person who does not have a father of confession or does not follow closely with his father of confession to take guidance in his spiritual life cannot obtain the virtue of meekness, because anything he will do, he will not know whether he is doing the right thing or the wrong thing in his spiritualities, in his spiritual life, unless he has clear instructions from his father of confession. And before going to the father of confession, again pray to the Holy Spirit to give the father of confession the spiritual wisdom, not the earthly wisdom, the spiritual wisdom to give you the right guidance and the right advice, because it's not his personal advice, it's rather the advice coming from the Holy Spirit and the wisdom coming from the Holy Spirit. إزاي الإنسان ممكن هو يقتني الوداع الحقيقية؟ يقتني الوداع الحقيقية بأن هو يتبع نفس التدرج للسيد المسيح وضعه في الموعظة على الجبل، أن يشعر باحتياجه وضعفه الشديد في حياته الروحية، وأن يحزن على هذا الضعف، الحزن الروحي البناء الذي يبني، مش اللي يجيب depression ويوقع الإنسان في despair. ثانياً، إن هو يضع السيد المسيح كمعلم أمامه، لأن المسيح قال تعلموا مني، والمسيح قال تعلموا مني، يبقى لازم الإنسان يتعلم من المسيح الوداعة وتواضع القلب. ثالثاً، إن هو يصلي للروح القدس، لأن إحنا قلنا الوداعة دي ثمر الروح القدس. إذا كانت الوداعة من ثمر الروح القدس، فأنا أصلي للروح القدس. إحنا كتير مننا بنصلي لله الآب، بنصلي لله الابن، ونادر ما بنصلي لله الروح القدس، والثالوث القدوس واحد. ليه الإنسان ما يصليش للروح القدس؟ إحنا بنصلي في صلاة الساعة الثالثة في الأجبية للروح القدس. عايزين نتعود من الصلاة دي، لما الإنسان يصلي لوحده يصلي أيضا للروح القدس، ويقول له أيها الروح القدس المحي المنبثق من الآب، أنا عايزك، ويبتدي يصلي من أجل أن الروح القدس يعمل في داخله ويعطيه ثمر الروح القدس الذي هو الوداعة. أيضا الإنسان يجب أن يعيش حياته الروحية بدقة، متابع مع أب اعترافه، لأن متابعة مع أب الاعتراف بتعطي شيء من الاتضاع والوداعة غير الإنسان اللي يكون ماشي وهو اللي قايد مسيرة حياته الروحية. لكن يطلب من الله أن يعطي حكمة لأب اعتراف، وأن يعطيه المشورة الصالحة، ويعطيه التدريبات الروحية اللي تقربه أكثر من ربنا وتديله روح الاتضاع الحقيقي وروح الوداع الحقيقية. بشكركم جدا على النهاردة، على البركة الكبيرة اللي أنا أخذتها بوجودي معاكم في وسطيكم في الأيام المباركة بتاعت صوم السيدة العذراء. كل سنة وأنتم طيبين، ربنا يبارك في الكنيسة، يبارك في أبونا يونان ملك هذه الكنيسة، ويبارك في خدمتكم كلها، كل خدمة الخدام والخادمات والشمامسة. الواحد الحقيقة فرح أول أن دخل الكنيسة، حس بارتياح عجيب جدا في الكنيسة، وحس فعلا بروح حلو. ربنا يبارك في خدمة أبونا وفي خدمتكم كلكم، ويدينا كلنا بركة الأيام المباركة، ويعلمنا من السيد المسيح له المجد الوداعة وتواضع القلب. I'm so happy to be here with you tonight. It's a real blessing to be in this holy place, and it's a church of Virgin Mary, and my church is Saint Mary's too, so it's I feel like I'm in my church, and actually it looks a lot like it, by the way, like the architectural features very similar to the church that I'm taking the blessing of serving. So it's a great blessing to be with you here tonight. It's a great blessing to be where Abuna Yunan serves, because he's a dear friend of mine, and he's a real example of meekness and humbleness of heart. May God bless his service and the service of the deacon, service of all the servants of the church, males and females, and may God give us all a great blessed period of time during the fast of Saint Mary. كل سنة وانتم طيبين.